那么今天给大家讲一讲90后的童年 Harry Potter The Boy Who Lived。 那么我给大家读一读这个哈利波特的这个英文原版小说的第一章啊，希望大家喜欢。The Boy Who Lived。 Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of number 4 Private Drive were proud to say that they were perfectly normal, thank you very much. They were the last people you'd expect to be involved in anything strange or mysterious, because they just didn't hold with such nonsense. Mr. Dursley was the director of a firm called Grunnings, which made drills. He was a big, beefy man with hardly any neck. Although he did have a very large mustache, Miss Dursley was thin and blonde and had nearly twice the usual amount of neck, which came in very useful as she spent so much of her time craning over garden fences, spying on the neighbors. The Dursleys had a small son called Doodley, and in their opinion, there was no finer boy anywhere. The Dursleys had everything they wanted.But they also had a secret, and their greatest fear was that somebody would discover it. They didn't think they could bear it if anyone found out about the Potters. Miss Potter was Miss Dursley's sister, but they hadn't met for several years. In fact, Miss Dursley pretended she didn't have a sister because her sister and her good-for-nothing husband were as anUn-Dursley-ish as it was possible to be. The Dursleys shuddered to think what the neighbors would say if the Potter arrived in the street. The Dursleys knew that the Potters had a small son too, but they had never even seen him. This boy was another good reason for keeping the Potters away. They didn't want Doodley mixing with a child like that.When Mr. and Mrs. Dursley woke up on the dull, gray Tuesday, our story starts. There was nothing about the cloudy sky outside to suggest that the strange and mysterious things would soon be happening all over the country. Mr. Dursley hummed as he picked out his most boring tie for work, and Miss Dursley,gossiped away happily as she wrestled a screaming Doodley into his high chair. None of them noticed a large, towny owl flutter past the window. At 8:30, Mr. Dursley picked up his briefcase, pecked Miss Dursley on the cheek, and tried to kiss Doodley goodbye, but missed, because Doodley was now having a tantrum.And throwing his cereal at the walls. Little tyke, quoted Mr. Dursley, as he left the house. He got into his car and backed out of number 4's drive. It was on the corner of the street that he noticed the first sign of something peculiar, a cat reading a map. For a second, Mr. Dursley didn't realize what he had seen. Then he jerked his head around to look again.There was a tabby cat standing on the corner of Private Drive, but there wasn't a map in sight. What could he have been thinking of? It must have been a trick of the light. Mr. Dursley blinked and stared at the cat, and scared back. As Mr. Dursley drove around the corner and up the road, he watched the car in his mirror. It was now reading the sign that said Private Drive,No looking at the sign. Cats couldn't read maps or signs. Mr. Dursley gave himself a little shake and put the car out of his mind. As he drove toward town, he thought of nothing except a large order of drills he was hoping to get that day. But on the edge of town, drills were driven out of his mind by something else. As he sat in the usual morning traffic jam,He couldn't help noticing that there seemed to be a lot of strangely dressed people about. People in cloaks. Mr. Dursley couldn't bear people who dress in funny clothes. the get-ups you saw on the young people. I suppose this was some stupid new fashion. He drummed his fingers on the steering wheel, and his eyes fell on a huddle of these weirdos standing quite close by. They were whispering excitedly together. Mr. Dursley was entranced. Enraged to see that a couple of them weren't young at all. Why, that man had to be older than he was and wearing an admirable green cloak. The nerve of him! But then it stuck Mr. Dursley that this was probably some silly stunt. These people were obviously collecting for something. Yes, that would be it. The traffic moved on, and a few minutes later, Mr. Dursley arrived in the Grannings parking lot, his mind back on drills. Mr. Dursley always sat with his back to the window in his office on the 9th floor. If he hadn't, he might have found it harder to concentrate on drills that morning. He didn't see the owls swooping past in broad daylight, though people down in the street did. They pointed and gazed open-mouthed as owl after owl sped overhead. Most of them had never seen an owl even at night time. Mr. Dursley, however, had a perfectly normal owl-free morning. He yelled at 5 different people, he made several important telephone calls and shouted a bit more. He was in a very good mood until lunchtime, when he thought he did stretch his legs and walk across the road to buy himself a bun for the bakery. He'd have forgotten all about the people in clothes until he passed a group of them next to the bakers. He eyed them angrily as he passed. He didn't know why, but they made him uneasy. This bunch were whispering excitedly, too, and he couldn't see a single collecting tin. It was on his way back past them, clutching a large donuts in a bag, that he caught a few words of what they were saying. The Potters. That's right. That's what I heard. Yes, their son, Harry. Mr. Dursley stopped, dead. Fear flooded him. He looked back at the whispers as if he wanted to say something to them, but thought better of it. He dashed back across the road. Hurry up to his office, snap at his secretary not to disturb him, seized his telephone and had almost finished dialing his home number when he changed his mind. He put the receiver back down and stroked his mustache, thinking, no, he was being stupid. Peter wasn't such an unusual name. He was sure there were lots of people called Potters who had a son called Harry. Come to think of it, he wasn't even sure his nephew was called Harry. He'd never even seen the boy. It might have been Harvey or Harold. There was no point in worrying Miss Dursley. She always got so upset at any mention of her sister. He didn't blame her if he'd had a sister like that. But all the same, those people in cloaks, he found it a lot harder to concentrate on drills that afternoon. And when he left the building at 5 o'clock, he was still so worried that he walked straight into someone just outside the door. Sorry, he grunted, as the tiny old man stumbled and almost fell. It was a few seconds before Mr. Dursley realized that the man was wearing a violet cloak. He didn't seem at all upset at being almost knocked to the ground. On the contrary, his face split into a wide smile, and he said in a squeaky voice that made passers-by stare, "Don't be worried, my dear sir, for nothing could upset me today. Rejoice, for you know who has gone at last. Even muggles like yourself should be celebrating this happy, happy day." And the old man hugged Mr. Dursley around the middle and walked off. Mr. Dursley stood rooted to the spot. He had been hugged by a complete stranger. He also thought that he'd have been called a muggle. Whatever that was, he was rattled. He hurried to his car and set off for home, hoping he was imagining things, which he had never hoped before because he didn't approve of imagination. As he pulled into the driveway of number 4, the first thing he saw, and it didn't improve his mood, was the tabby cat he'd spotted that morning. It was now sitting on his garden wall. He was sure it was the same one. It had the same markings around its eyes. "Shoo!" said Mr. Dursley loudly. The cat didn't move. It just gave him a stern look, Was this normal cat behavior? Mr. Dursley wondered, trying to pull himself together. He led him into the house. He was still determined not to mention anything to his wife. Miss Dursley had had a nice normal day. She told him over dinner all about Miss Next Door's problems with her daughter and how Doodley had learned a new word. Mr. Dursley tried to act normally. When Doodley had been put to bed, he went into the living room in time to catch the last report on the evening news. And finally, bird watchers everywhere have reported that the nation's owls have been behaving very unusually today. Although owls normally hunt at night and are hardly ever seen in the daylight, there have been hundreds of sightings of these birds flying in every direction since sunrise. Experts are unable to explain why the owls have suddenly changed their sleeping pattern. The newscaster allowed himself a grin. Most mysterious. And now over to Jim McGuffin with the weather. Going to be any more showers of owls tonight, Jim? Well, Ted, said the weatherman, I don't know about that, but it's not only the owls that have been acting oddly today. Viewers as far apart as Kent, Yorkshire, and Dundee have been phoning in to tell me that instead of the rain I promised yesterday, they've had a downpour of shooting stars. Perhaps people have been celebrating bonfire night early. It is not until next week, folks, but I can promise a wet night today. Tonight. Mr. Dursley sat frozen in his armchair, shooting stars all over Britain. Owls flying by daylight, mysterious people in cloaks all over the place, and a whisper about the Potters. Miss Dursley came into the living room carrying two cups of tea. It was no good. He'd had to say something to him. He cleared his throat nervously. Petunia, dear. You haven't heard from your sister lately, have you? As he had expected, Miss Dursley looked shocked and angry after all. They normally pretended that they didn't have a sister. No, she said sharply. Why? Funny stuff on the news, Mr. Dursley mumbled. Owls shooting stars, and there were a lot of funny-looking people in town today. So? Snapped Miss Dursley. Well, I just thought maybe it was something to do with, you know, her crowd. Miss Dursley sipped her tea through pursed lips. Mr. Dursley wondered whether he dared tell her he'd heard the name Potter. He decided he didn't dare. Instead, he said, as cordially as he could, their son, he'd be about Doodley's age now, wouldn't he? I suppose so, said Miss Dursley stiffly. What's his name again, Howard, isn't it? Harry, nasty common name, if you ask me. Oh, yes, said Mr. Dursley, his heart stinking horribly. Yes, I'm quite agree. He didn't say another word on the subject as they went upstairs to bed. While Miss Dursley was in the bathroom, Mr. Dursley crept to the bedroom window and peered down into the front garden. The cat was still there. It was staring down Private Drive as though it were waiting for something. Was he imagining things? Could all this have anything to do with Potters? If it did, if it got out, that they were related to a pair of, well, he didn't think he could bear it. The Dursley got into the bed. Miss Dursley fell asleep quickly, but Mr. Dursley lay awake, turning it all over in his mind. His last comforting thought before he fell asleep was that even if the Potters were involved, there was no reason for them to come near him, and Miss Dursley, the Potters, knew very well what he and Petunia thought about them and their kind. He couldn't see how he and Petunia could get mixed up in anything that might be going on. He yawned and turned over, and it couldn't affect them. How very wrong he was. Mr. Dursley might have been drifting, but the cat on the wall outside was showing no sign of sleepiness. It was sitting as still as a statue, its eyes fixed unblinkingly on the far corner of Private Drive. It didn't so much as quiver when a cat door slammed on the next street, nor when two owls swooped overhead. In fact, it was nearly midnight before the cat moved at all. A man appeared out of the corner the cat had been watching, appeared so suddenly and silently, you'd have thought he'd just pop out of the ground. The cat's tail twitched and its eyes narrowed. Nothing like this man had ever been seen on Private Drive. He was tall, thin, and very old, judging by the silver of his hair and beard, which were both long enough to tuck into his belt. He was wearing a long robes of purple cloaks that swept the ground, and high-heeled, buckled boots. His blue eyes were light bright and sparkling behind half-moon spectacles, and his nose was very long and crooked, as though to have been broken at least twice. This man's name was Albus Dumbledore. Albus Dumbledore didn't seem to realize that he had just arrived in a street where everything from his name to his boots was unwelcome. He was busy rummaging in his cloak, looking for something, but he didn't seem to realize he was being watched, because he looked up suddenly at the cat, which was still staring at him from the other end of the street. For some reason, the sight of the cat seemed to amuse him. He chuckled and muttered, "I should have known." He found that he was looking for in his inside pocket. It seemed to be a silver cigarette lighter. He flickered it open, held it on into the air. Click it, and the nearest street lamps went out with a little pop. He clicked again, the next lamp flickered into darkness. 12 times he clicked the pot outer, until the only light left on the whole street was 2 tiny pinpricks in the distance, which were the eyes of the cat watching him. Anyone looked out of their window now, even beady eyes Miss Dursley, they wouldn't be able to see anything that was happening down on the pavement. Dumbledore slipped the put outer back inside his cloak and set off down the street toward number 4, where he sat down on the wall next to the cat. He didn't look at it, but after a moment he spoke to it. "Fancy seeing you here, Professor McGonagall." He turned to smile at the tabby, but had gone. Instead, he was smiling at a rather silver-looking woman who was wearing square glasses exactly the shape of markings the cat had been around his eyes. She, too, was wearing a cloak, an emerald one. Her black hair was drawn into the tight bun. He looked distinctly ruffled. "How do you know it was me?" she asked. "My dear professor, I never seen a cat sit so stiffly." "You stiff if you've been sitting on a brick wall all day," said Miss McGonagall. "All day? When you could have been celebrating, I must have passed a dozen feasts and parties on my way here." "Oh yes, everyone's celebrating all night," she said impatiently. "You think they'd have been a bit more careful, but no, even the muggles have noticed something's going on. It was on their news." He jerked her head back at the Dursleys' dark living room window. "I heard it. Flocks of owls shooting stars. Well, they're not completely stupid. They were bound to notice something shooting stars down in Kent. I bet that was the devilish Diggle. He never had much sense." "You can't blame them," said Dumbledore gently. "We've had precious little to celebrate for 11 years. I know that. But that's no reason to lose our heads. People are being downright careless, out on the streets in broad daylight, not even dressed in muggle clothes, swapping rumors."
好了，给大家读差不多是第一章啊，大概就是讲那个哈利波特，就是被哈利波特还没有出场，出场的是他的这个养父和养母啊。Mr. Dursley 和 Miss Dursley、Mr. Dursley 他就是住在 Private Drive， 然后住在这个街道，他住在第四号房。完了那个第四号房呢，这个他第四号他就是在讲他每天过的都是非常非常的普通啊，就是他们就是特别喜欢正常。完了就说 Mr. Dursley 是个什么样的人？他是一个非常大的有胡子的 beefy 啊 ，beefy 就是有胡子的意思。With hardly any neck， beefy 这就是这个里的意思。beefy b e f y， beef 是牛肉的意思 ，beefy 形容词就代表他非常胖，然后没有脖子，就是他胖的连脖子都没有。完了，他说他这个他的妻子 Miss Dursley 呢是瘦的，完了金发。然后有大概啊，他脖子特别长，他说这个脖子的长度是普通长度的两倍。然后就讲 Dursley 每天的这个无聊的生活，然后又讲到这个 Dursley Miss Dursley 他有个妹妹，就是 Harry 的妈妈啊，他不敢提到 Harry 的妈妈，因为他们都知道 Harry 的妈妈和一些很奇怪的人打交道，谁就是巫师，他们不想和这种人打交道。于是就讲那个 Mr. Dursley 有一天就是按照往常一样上班去了，就发现街道上看到了一个这个猫啊在看地图。 A cat reading a map. Something peculiar. P-E-C-U-L-I-A-R. Peculiar 是奇怪的意思。那么有一秒钟的这个 Mr. Dursley 就没有想到怎么这种猫在看地图，怎么回事，可能是光线原因。完了他就继续开车，然后继续开车哈，他就开始想这个，因为这个前文交代说 Mr. Dursley 他是开这个钻井公司的一个人，钻井公司啊，他就开始想怎么能出口他的这个钻井。这时候他就发现那个开车的时候车堵车了，他看到街道旁边这个走过的全是一些穿着那个巫师巫袍的人啊，巫袍，觉得特别奇怪，这些巫袍是怎么回事。完了，最后他又开始看，就是他就开始等，就看那个在这个发现有些人穿的是这个完全绿色的袍子，有个老人穿绿色袍子，实际上那个老人就是后来我们说那个 Dumbledore 校长啊，就觉得特别奇怪，今天怎么来了这么些有意思的人。在办公室里面呢，他就是继续无聊的工作，他看着窗外呢看到了一群这个 owl 猫头鹰啊，一群猫头鹰飞过，然后他又听到有人窃窃私语 The Potters, that's right, that's what I heard. Yes, their son, Harry. 听到有人说就是那个波特啊，波特，这是我听到的，对，他们的儿子哈利。然后这个 Dursley 就开始停顿下来 ,stop dead, 停顿下来，他开始害怕了。于是呢他就开始往外，他下班以后疯的一样往家跑。往家跑以后他那个打开电视机看到了一个有人这个播新闻啊。Well, Ted, said the weatherman, I don't know about that, 就是今天说的这个天气怎么样。今天天气说在 Kent, Yorkshire, 和 Dundee 这三个地区呢，有人告诉我说除了我昨天预报的雨以外，他们看到流星啊 ,shooting stars, 看到流星，然后这个播音员就认为可能是有些人在庆祝 bonfire, 什么烟火晚会啊。完了这个 Mr. Dursley 就是坐在那个椅子上啊 ,sat frozen, 那么 frozen 这里就是惊呆了意思啊。完了就开始问他的妻子 ,Petunia, 你最近和你的妹妹联系吗？那么 Miss, 这个他妻子就说没有过。于是那个男的解释，今天有一些非常奇怪的新闻，还有猫头鹰，还有流星，而且遇到了一些非常穿着非常奇怪的人在街道上。他妻子说，所以我认为可能是不是他的人要来 ,her crowd, 就代表他的人群。Their son, he'd be about Dudley's age now, wouldn't he? 于是就是说Potter,啊，是他想是波特，他就不敢说这个名字啊。他们的孩子是不是也跟像 Dudley 这么大的 ？Mr. 就是说，我觉得也是 ，stiffly 非常坚硬的说哈。Mr. Dursley might have been drifting into an uneasy sleep。于是呢 ，Mr. 今天的那个 Dursley 就是过得非常不安稳，完了他就是睡了一个不安稳的觉。实际上 Mr. Dursley 他想的全是错的啊，实际上 波特的人真的到了。于是乎呢，就开始描写在这个街道外面有一个蓝眼睛白头发的这个老人，穿着绿袍子，然后就拿出了自己一个打火机哈。他觉得他被人看着 He seemed to realize he was being watched because he looked up suddenly at the cat which was still staring at him from the other end of the street. 因为他看到一只猫一直盯着他看，某种原因呢，他开始说话了，说我应该知道的。于是乎这个猫变成了一个女的巫师，于是后面我们就知道的Professor McGonagall。于是他开始交谈了起来，不过交谈的途中呢，他开始拿出了自己的打火机，叫做一个叫 In Outer， 把这个街道的火都把街道的这个路灯都给熄灭掉。那么这里有一个非常有意思的这个表达方式我很喜欢，他把能看到的路灯灯光全部都吸收了，叫做 put outer。他把能看到的光全部都吸抽，只留下一个 two tiny pinpricks in the distance。我们能看到灯光，只是在遥远处看起来就像一个 pinpricks 许别针一样。你说他只剩下一些非常暗的光其他离得比较近的光呢，全部被打火机吸收。这表达方式非常有意思 ，pinpricks。好了，给大家讲完了，不知道大家有没有听明白呢？那么我们下期再会。
更多节目下载荔枝 FM 收听。